dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We are live from Brookfield Central High School for the Luke Homan Memorial Basketball Showcase on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pifel from Mosh. Dr. Pifel, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back, Mac.
Yeah, you bet. We're at courtside as Brookfield Central gets a little warm-up for their game against Germantown today. And we are really excited to be out here.
A lot nicer digs than sitting in the studio.
Yeah, it's nice. Plus, we get to see what Coach Wandry does for a pregame warm up. You know, they play at 4:30 today, so he's going to get a shoot around in. And we're going to talk today. We'll do some injuries. I got to ask you about Jordy Nelson. We'll do that here in a second. And then we're going to talk about early stages and initial care when high school athletes get hurt. And it's interesting for me because Ashley by us at Greendale Martin Luther does an unbelievable job. And I think all the Mosh people do. But I'm really familiar now with her because I get a chance to talk to her every day. And I don't know if people understand what the evaluation process is, the protocols to where as coaches we have our kids, and what's the steps. And I know it's all different for depending on what parents we have involved on how they do that. But I want to get from your angle, from Mosh's point of view, what the correct process should be as kids get injured, office visits, testing, stuff like that. And we'll get to that throughout the show.
All right.
The Jordy Nelson part, I really wanted to start with that because we didn't think he was going to play. And I agreed with
not
you guys.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, and Dr. Brian McCarty said last week, look, they're playing us a little bit, saying that he might play. And he got out there and played.
I said the same thing before the match. It was a ruse. That young man, and he's not so young anymore, working hard with a significant amount of pain, even with the flak jacket. This is a very tough injury to live life, let alone take a collision sport at an elite level.
Hey, what do you think his day was like after the game, that flight home, the next day, the second day? Had to be just brutal for this guy.
I think if you asked the average professional football player, the day after any game is like you've been in 3 car crashes. And I would bet that he felt like he was in 10. It's just aches and pains, difficulty breathing, sitting, sleeping. Life just had to be fairly difficult. So I admire him for what he did. I think it was a little crazy, but I understand the necessity, and he performed amazingly well for that injury.
What do you think his reputation was like in the locker room after that?
I don't think anyone questioned before this based on his toughness, his demeanor, his ability to return from his ACL. But with this is things legends are made of.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they'll be talking. Those players in that locker room 10 years from now are going to be telling people, I was on the field when Jordy Nelson did this.
The hard part is he's set a precedent. I would tell you there's going to be a lot of people with rib fractures that are going to try to come back, and no way are they going to perform at the level he did.
You know, you made a comment prior to us coming on. You said, look, the first couple of passes, you thought they did a great job of throwing it away from his injury. So when he caught it, he was getting hit on the other side. But as the game progressed and as these guys started coming up and bumping and running, they were hitting him right there on the line.
Well, you know, a lot of that is gameplay. It's easy to set your game plan early and put some plays in to get some confidence. As we've talked on many of the shows in the past, confidence is about 50% of athletics. And so get him some touches, make him feel comfortable that he's going to be able to tolerate the rigors of football. The problem is after game plan starts to go away as the game started to get out of hand, and it goes on, he had a tough time.
He is Dr. Eric Pifel. You can get more information on Dr. Pifel at mymosh.com. That's mymosh.com. PackersTalk.com. Another Packer that I wanted to talk about is T.J. Lang. You know, he they talked about him aggravating the broken bone in his left foot that had cost him some time earlier in the season. And he also had, I think, a hip surgery. When he was leaving the field, very emotional time for him because his contract is up. And reading some stuff about him, he just loves being a Green Bay Packer and didn't want to walk, didn't want to get off the field.
Yeah, you know, I saw the game, and if you saw the close-ups, he was in tears. And I'm pretty confident it had nothing to do with the pain of the injury. It had to do with the pain of transition. And our athletes at any level, when you get to that end stage, there's sometimes a realization that this may not be what you're doing in a calendar year.
Right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. I wish we were talking about the Green Bay Packers playing in it, but we're not. How strong of an advantage is it for these guys that are dinged up that get that extra week of rest?
Well, the nice part about the extra week is you don't have the preparation that you would in a normal week-to-week game. So they have time to completely dissociate from football other than maybe a little film study, let themselves rest, let them psychologically rest as well, and then they can get back. But the guys with chronic irritation of muscles or bones or old injuries or old surgeries, it's great, and it optimizes the game. So they went a couple years ago where they went just the week after, and I think they saw a decline in some of the activities, and I think the two-week reprieve for the biggest game of the year is very important.
Yeah, I agree with that. And looking at the injury report for the Falcons and the Patriots, the Falcons seem to be quite a bit healthier, but as you know with New England, they play a lot of games with this stuff. The Falcons are talking again about Julio Jones and his toe and foot. Center Alex Mack, fibula, they will not practice, but both are expected to practice and play next week. If a guy like, you know, Julio Jones, who's got a turf toe, he's got a foot injury, does he probably end up going in every day to get some kind of rehab?
So he'll be in the training room most likely every day getting treatment. While he's at home, he probably gets treatment with his own personal trainer. And if his foot is as good as it was against the Packers, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Certainly the youth of the Falcons is a big part of why they are less dinged up is my guess. The Patriots are an old team. They're an old team every year. They bring in veterans to fit roles, but age increases the susceptibility to injury. So that's a big part of it. But I never doubt Brady and Belichick together that they will be just fine.
Are you which bandwagon are you on? You know what?
I'm cheering for the Falcons. Okay. Belichick stunk with the Browns, and Tom Brady went to Michigan. So they got nothing for me.
That was easy and a little bit personal, I may add. You know, you didn't even take a breath when I asked that.
I was all ready for that one.
You were ready for that question. Well, I, too, am rooting for the Falcons for a different reason, but I'll tell you about that when we get to a break. On the Patriots side, they're talking about Marcellus Bennett with his knee, Brandon Bolden with his knee, Dwight Hightower's shoulder, Hogan has a thigh injury, Malcolm Mitchell has a knee injury, Jabal Sherritt has a knee injury. They've got a number of guys that they're talking about probably going to be available to play in the Super Bowl. This is the time when if you are truly injured, you might not be able to play, but if you're hurt, you're going to get ready to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, this is the last hurrah. If you're not ready for this, it means you're completely incapacitated. So this list is huge. Belichick every week has a loaded, questionable list. And why? It's gamesmanship. He is a great coach for many reasons. One of them is making sure that the other team has to prepare for multiple contingencies.
Hey, last injury in professional sports that I have to ask you about.
All right.
Guy by the name of Enos Kanter, who is the center for the Oklahoma City team in the NBA. He is out for at least a month after fracturing his right forearm by punching a chair during a win against the Dallas Mavericks. And I haven't seen tape on it, but I certainly will when we go to a break. I'm going to bring this up. But he punched a chair and fractured his right forearm.
Well, I'll tell you what. My son, who I read the article with this morning, said, I read the article, and he said some people are just idiots. And it's the truth. The passion of sports and the passion of life sometimes overtakes common sense. And in this situation, punching a chair seemed reasonable to him. Unfortunately, it has now cost him time, but also money, being on the bench, and is a bad consequence for the rest of his team.
You know, you see it in baseball a lot, where guys, pitchers get pulled out and they're punching a water cooler or stuff like that. And we've competed in sports, right, a lot in our lives, and understand that frustration level sometimes, as your son said. You know, all of a sudden we become kind of stupid. And look, I hate losing. So I can tell you times in grade school, high school, and after high school when in the middle of a game or competition, something as easy as, you know, playing poker, I guess.
Absolutely.
You still get upset and you do something stupid.
Yeah, a lot of learning in sports is technique, is learning skills, learn teamsmanship, but it's also how to redirect your frustration and your aggression. And some people can do it and some people cannot. We can see also with other guys, they can't redirect their aggression, like the guard from Duke. Some people just can't put those type of things out of their system and put it into a negative connotation.
What's interesting about that guard, you brought it up, and I thought about this a lot. After he does it the first time, he gets caught, and they reprimand him a little bit, embarrass him, if nothing else, on the national stage. He does it again and again and possibly again.
Right.
You know, they're not sure on that fourth one. What's hard for me to understand is there had to be some point in his young childhood that somebody had to say, knock it off. You know what? You're done. We are not going to put up with this. He's had to been able to get away with this kind of stuff all through grade school, middle school, high school.
Yeah, well, like I said, a big part of sports is learning. Learning how to be a good young man, a good teammate, is a big part of coaching. Sometimes the gifted athlete are given leeway, and unfortunately, as they get to a higher level where they're not the only gifted athlete, they continue these things, and they're detrimental to their careers.
And now, you know, it gets put up on SportsCenter. It's the number one story that he's doing this. In fact, did you read what Coach K did now? The players aren't allowed to, I guess this is the eighth or ninth time he's done it in his career, not allowed to wear any Duke gear and not allowed to go into the locker room unless they're there for a practice, because right now they're not playing the way a Duke player should play.
I think that Coach K is a wonderful example. No matter what you think of Duke and Coach K, he has built young men for the most part to a very exemplary degree. In this type of situation, he sees something he doesn't like, so he makes them earn the ability to wear their colors, and I think it's a great idea.
No doubt. Hey, listen, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to break this down. Dr. Pfeiffer, I think this show, we've done a great job of dealing with a lot of different issues. One that I don't know that we've ever discussed is we're going to go through that whole process of when a high school athlete, probably a high school athlete is what we'll start with, what happens when they get injured. And depending on what the injury is, from the early stages with the trainer and the event evaluation, all of that, we'll talk about protocols, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We are live from Brookfield Central High School for the Luke Homan Memorial Basketball Showcase on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pfeiffer. He is from MyMosh. You can check out more information, MyMosh.com. Dr. Pfeiffer, I wanted to talk a little bit about the early stages in this segment of, and let's utilize a high school basketball player because we're here at,
oh, yeah,
here and watching these guys play. I have learned so much this year at Greendale Martin Luther from Ashley Groh. She's just been incredible, and I knew her last year, but we didn't have many injuries to talk to her about. We were pretty healthy last year, and this year I've gotten to know her really well, and I can't say enough good things about her.
Well, it's really great to hear that. You know, certainly Ashley and Greg Lucas here at Brookfield Central and all the other trainers that work with the Mosh team are very important. And even when you're not having injuries, they're very important to the team and invaluable to the safety of our athletes. And, you know, a big part of what we want to talk about today is the transition of athletes with injuries to their end treatment. And a big part of the initial treatment is preparing for injury, right, not even managing the injury. So a lot of the behind-the-scenes things you see, you don't see with the trainers are getting ready for the season, making sure they have all the gear correct, make sure they have all the logistics of where they're going to manage their players, managing the season and where they're going to cover. Their schedules are insanely crazy and all over, multiple places, multiple sports, looking for assistance, looking for transport. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things you don't even see before the first injury even occurs.
Let me tell you a little bit about Ashley and some of the stuff that she does for us at Martin Lutheran. I'm sure it goes on at other high schools, but I haven't seen it personally. She is at our practices. She's at our games. She's at home games at Martin Lutheran, boys and girls. And our guys, this team is a young team, and they're players from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they're student-athletes. And these are kids that walked into a situation at Martin Luther with not a lot of trust, I think, in people, in adults. And Ashley has done such a good job, first and foremost, to gaining their trust. Because when we've had a number of injuries, and when she tells them, look, if you do this, if you trust me, and we work together, and you do this, 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 and this, I can get you back on the court. And now they've seen that. And she's proven to be right over and over and over again. So these guys, who now were kind of like, I don't know if I trust her, are in her office all the time.
Yeah, you know, I would tell you, and I've talked about this with some of my other physician colleagues and trainers, being a trainer is much like being a parent. If you are there and you are present, that's the first part of trust. So if you're not around or you're intermittently there, they aren't going to trust you. So when you're present, you're always available, and you always answer their questions with dignity and truth, they're going to be there for you. Then you start taking good care of them, and that trust builds and that confidence builds. And so before anything has occurred, they are there. They know you're there for them. And then when injury happens, they know you're going to take good care of them, point them in the right direction, tell them when things are good, tell them when things are bad, be reasonable with their parents and their coaches and their teammates so they can get back and play the sport that they love.
And I'll give you an example. I won't name the young man, but he had a high ankle sprain in our first game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ashley was 100% honest with him and said, here's the direction. Here's the steps we have to take. Well, he didn't want to hear that. And what I found later down this path was his fear was this injury is going to cost him a spot in the starting lineup. So he would listen to Ashley, do some of the stuff she said, but then go off on his own. And he would come to a practice, and she would say, look, I don't think he should be here. Just so you know, I've told him no. He thinks he should be here. And it just wasn't going. It wasn't working. And this was near the end of December, and she said, look, what I think should happen is we should shut him down until after the first of the year. And so I pulled the kid aside and said, look, we're going to shut you down for the first of the year. But understand, I know what your fear is now. Your fear is that you're losing your starting position. That's not going to happen. You come back 100% healthy, we're going to slide you back. And he said, are you sure? And I said, I am sure. He walked away from me, went right to Ashley, and they worked. And after the first year, this kid came back 100%. Came back probably at 90, but he's 100 now. Mm-hmm. And because if we had done a better job listening to her, I think a couple weeks prior to that, he may have gotten back before the first of the year, but just after the first year he was back.
Well, it's just another parenting role that a trainer has. Being present's the first part. Being able to say no is a very important one. And until you build trust, the word no to an athlete is a very difficult one to take, and sometimes they're a little bit obstinate. They'll still be obstinate with trust, but without trust, they won't listen at all. So building that trust, building that program is a very important part of the training staff in order to take good care of the athletes, but also to have the coaches trust that when you say, let's shut them down, that that's the right answer.
Here's the other one. Let me give you another one. We had a kid who tore his meniscus in football. And was trying to come back, and he was struggling a little bit. And off to the side, Ashley and I had a conversation, and she said, "Look, I think because he has been given the okay, the green light to go ahead. I'm thinking that it's in his head, and we need to kind of." And I said, "Well, look, should we play good cop, bad cop?" And I'll be the bad cop. And she said, "You're good. You be the bad cop. I'll be the good cop." And we had this conversation. Right. Well, what it turned out is he had some fluid. He just needed to get it drained. And once he got it drained, he's been great ever since. But it was in his head, and we had to make sure that he understood that. Look, let it go one time. Just try it. Let it go. Get up and down the floor. You know, make your cuts the way you got to make them, and let's see what happens.
Well, that's another part of being a trainer is you got to be there. You got to be able to say yes and no, but you also have to find a way to communicate. Kids, just like everyone in life, have a different way to communicate between their individuals. So sometimes it takes a little bit of tough love. Sometimes it takes a little bit of a shoulder to cry on. It really depends on the personality of your athlete.
Hey, so let's talk a little bit about that initial young man gets hurt, and let's utilize a game. The next day, Ashley will talk to him, see him that night, but then the next day they get together, and utilizing that ankle injury that we had talked about, she then looks at it, realizes that probably doesn't need for an X-ray, doesn't need an MRI, is a high ankle sprain. And then she makes that decision whether to send the athlete, correct?
Correct. You know, the logarithm to get the athlete well is one, get your setups ready. So prevention and preparing before the season. Two, when it occurs, have the resources to take care of it. So typically the day after an event, there'll be a training room where the athletes can come in and say, hey, we have some injuries, like take a look at them, see what we can do, or the day of the event if it's severe. So Ashley and the other trainers certainly can say, hey, this is what's going on, this is what I think we can do. As long as there's not telltale signs of significant injury, huge amounts of swelling, inability to bear weight, swelling to the point where there's loss of motion, then the trainers typically can manage these with the treatments they have in their training rooms, including icing, ultrasound, bracing, taping, and then see if they're able to functionally get back to their athletics. And for the majority of injuries, 90-95% of the time, no one else needs to be involved because the trainers are that good at their craft.
Yeah, she is. I'm telling you that. The next step on that, if she determines that, okay, we probably need to get an X-ray or an MRI, does she set that up, or does the parent of the student athlete set that up?
So in that type of situation in Wisconsin, trainers are not able to order imaging.
Okay.
So that's where we go to the next stages of the cascade as far as a treatment plan. So all our MOSH schools, including Pro, high school, college, and middle schools have a trainer, but also have a physician that manages that trainer. So that's where the next stage of the team comes into play. So either the physician will be at the match, will be in the training room, or the trainer will coordinate a visit to that physician's office so the next stages of the treatment plan can begin, including the imaging.
Before we get to a break, I go back a long way, so I've been around this game and for a long time. The idea of having a trainer at the school and at every game, that didn't used to be the case. it used to be that, you know, you'd have an assistant coach that read a book one time that saying, yeah, you're fine, you know, rub some dirt on it and get back in. But that whole thing has changed.
Well, we have to give a shout out to the forefathers of sports medicine, Dr. James Andrews and Dr. Clancy, a couple of the big guys in the early 70s saying, hey, this isn't working. We have athletes getting injured all the time. There's really no one there to take care of it. So they began sports medicine. And out of those treatment plans in the 70s, which mostly include physicians,
right,
somewhat therapists, and there were some athletic trainers then, they built a way to build programs from the ground up. They started at the higher levels,
right,
and it has trickled down over the last four or five decades in order to make sure we're taking our athletes, taking good care of them at a younger level.
You know, when a conference, Dr. Pfeifel, and then we'll get to a break after this question, when the conference, like the city conference here in Milwaukee, didn't have athletic trainers at all these events, and I would do the Thursday night game, and they'd be taping their own ankle, or one guy trying to tape another guy's ankle. That was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And now there's a MOSH trainer at every city conference game. That's something that you guys got involved with.
Yeah, it's very important, and it's based on the love of sport from a higher level. We are able to manage that because we take care of all the teams around Milwaukee. With a grant from the NFL, we were able to improve the ability to take care of the City League teams. And we look forward to doing this for generations because we want to take care of all our athletes the same way. And if we have the ability to give them access and build trust, then they'll have good care.
Yeah, I love that. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk about that office visit, testing, imaging, that initial care once it gets to that level. When that student athlete goes to MOSH, how that process goes from there. And again, we'll continue to talk about Ashley Groh and Greg Lucas and some of these trainers from these high schools that do just a phenomenal job. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We are live from Brookfield Central High School for the Luke Holman, the 10th annual, 10th annual Luke Holman Memorial Basketball Showcase on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. We're also joined now by Greg Lucas, sixth year. He's the trainer here at Brookfield Central. Greg, it's always good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good to see you, too. Doing well.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Oh, same to you.
Hey, we are talking about the process. Student-athlete gets hurt. High school student-athlete gets hurt. And we kind of went through the evaluation stage with the trainer, what your protocols are. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about the initial care where they go to the office, they get tested, they get testing and imaging and things like that. You as the trainer here at Brookfield Central, then you can recommend that that's what they have to go. Do you talk to the parents and say, look, I think you need to get an MRI or you need to get an X-ray, correct?
Right. That's how it goes. You know, most injuries we take care of in-house, but there are those injuries that take a little longer or happen that are pretty severe right away. And that's my whole thing is communication. I got to be that person. I feel like I'm in the hub. I'm talking to the coach. I'm talking to the parent. I'm talking to the docs. And we're getting that ball rolling a little bit. So if there's an injury where I think needs to be seen, boy, I'm on the phone to that parent saying, hey, we need to get you checked out. Let's get to the right person. Your son's worked way too hard for a long time, or your daughter's worked way too long to go to the wrong person that's going to hold them back. Let's get to the person who can figure it out, and then we move forward. Because what I expect from docs, I mean, I get from this majority of docs that I work with, is a game plan.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to treat you. This is how we're going to get you back.
Well, you know what I've seen from and working again with Ashley over at Martin Luther is parents' initial reaction is, well, we're going to go to my primary. Or we should maybe go to my buddy's uncle's aunt's best friend who is a doctor, and let's kind of take a look at this. What you guys have set up at MOSH is this, like you had talked about, it's kind of that circle. And you know what? We're going to go from here to here to here. Now we have a game plan, and we're all in the same loop and how important that is.
Yeah, the hierarchy and the logistics are a big part of this. as Greg alluded to, communication's huge. He communicates with the player, the parent, the coaches, but our communication with him is paramount. Each of us as physicians have our specific schools that we work with, but we have a larger team that we have this web of specialists that have certain areas that they're better at than others. And in a situation, if we have an injury that's a hip or we have an injury that's a shoulder, we have specific specialists that oftentimes can help our trainers out. And by creating this group mentality, it makes it much easier to make that transition quickly because time is paramount. These kids have 4 years of high school. And if they have an injury that takes them 6 to 8 months and you delay that treatment for 2 to 3 months, they miss an entire year. So if we can get the process going quickly by great communication, great preparation like Greg does here at Brookfield Central, then it makes it a better experience for our athletes.
Hey, Greg, the tough part about that wheel that we had talked about is the toughest part sometimes the parent, sometimes the student athlete. You know, where, because I know as a coach where my frustrations come from at times, and I'm wondering if they're the same for you.
Well, the way injuries go down in a school, kids get hurt on teams. Kids see it every day. You know, a kid will be modified in practice or limited. Parents don't see it every day. So when they're – and they understand all the games or practices they've driven you through the years and
right.
everything, and they want their kid – every parent wants their kid to have success. So really that phone call to the parent is the toughest one. But I take this approach where it's kind of a – I talk them off the ledge a little bit.
Sure.
Say, hey, let's look at it as a – let's take as much as we can the emotional part from their side out of it, and let's look at the practical side, how we're going to deal with this. And a lot of times that helps. By the end of the phone call, I've been told parents feel a lot better.
He's got to be a little Dr. Phil too, huh?
No, I mean, and what he's alluding to is that when a parent hears their child is injured, they assume the worst, and then you discuss it with them, then usually they understand that maybe it's not so bad. But we all, as parents, jump to the worst case scenario until we have more information.
You know, it's interesting with some of the stuff that I've seen this year. And again, Greg, I know that you know Ashley Groh over
sure.
at Martin
Ashley,
Luther.
Sure.
She's been phenomenal. But when she says, look, I've seen this to a parent, I've seen this 15 times. So we know how to get your son or your daughter back because, though, like you had talked about, Greg, this is their world. In their bubble, this is the only time this ever happened. Well, you know what? In your world, you've seen it 15, 20 times. I mean, how many surgeries did you do yesterday?
I didn't do any yesterday, but I did about 15 this week.
15 so. This week. So. Yeah, so you know what? You've seen this before, but and I've been that parent. My son was the only one that pulled his hamstring the way he pulled it. And, you know, the trainer's like, no, it's, you know, this is pretty, fairly common. I've seen it quite a bit. And those words to parents make them go, okay, so this isn't anything new. We, you know, we just got to follow what the trainer says. Once that office visit is done, Greg, then you guys get the information back from the doctor on what happened on the x-ray or the MRI?
Yes. Yeah. Communication is great within our company and within others too. And I've been here 6 years, so I got good relationships, a lot of good relationships. So they'll tell me what's going on. Are we going to? Is it a PT thing? We're going to be out for a while, and that could really help them and with modalities and that type of thing. Or can they pull them back to the high school where I'll work with the rehab program with them? But then if I get that communication back, boy, I'm right to the coach with that. You know, we're all on the same page rather than it coming from the kid or the parent, where it can be kind of skewed a little bit.
Do you find that the communication you have with the coaches? I know the coaches here at Brook Central. I know Jed Kennedy really well. I certainly don't know. I do know Dan Wandry really well. Don't know the baseball coach, I don't think. But the communication that you have to give to the coaches, different way you serve it up to different coaches?
Definitely. I gotta know the coach. I gotta know the moment in time. You know, those are all factors. And sometimes I'll have to come in with a little more functional information about why they can't
right.
play at this point. But it's all relative. And high school sports get emotional for everybody. And you know, some of my coaches too are emotional guys.
No, Jed Kennedy's emotional. Are you kidding?
But at the same time, you know, it's fun to see them work with the kids. And it's fun to be able to help them on the sideline and be in that environment with them to give them guidance too.
Hey, how often do you guys get a chance to? The trainers, do you guys get a chance to come together as a group?
Yeah, as a staff, we do. We have monthly staff meetings. Then we have some just like area meetings between ourselves because that's how we are in this. We're kind of on islands out here.
Sure.
We're at our schools, which is great. I love it. I build great relationships inside this school before injuries happen with this model, which I love. But at the same time, we don't see each other as much. And the war stories that we can kind of have to kind of get, you know, just dial down from and everything. But
Dr. Pfeiffer, how about you on the doctor's side? Do you guys get together as a group much?
Yeah, we meet 2 to 3 times a year just for our sports medicine team to talk about treatment plans, preparation, just like Greg and the rest of the trainers do. Creating communication, creating understanding is a big part of this. And building trust with our trainers is as important as the trainers building trust with the athletes, coaches, and parents. And just like we talked, being a trainer is like being a parent. You have to be present. You have to be able to say no. And you have to be able to tailor your treatment plan based on the injury, but more importantly, sometimes based on personality. So we learn all that working together, and it's a great team effort, and I think our athletes benefit from it.
Hey, last question, Greg, for you before we get to a break. The Luke Homan Memorial Basketball Showcase starts today. There are games starting at 10:30, and they go all through till 9 o'clock tonight. Are you here the whole time?
I'm here the whole time. I'm very proud to do it. You know, I'm proud to be at this school. It's crazy. But the staff here, we work so well together. It's my 6th year. I know, like, emergency action plans. I know what's in place. I know who I can trust in the game management staff. And
right.
They make it easier for me. And I have a student now from Carroll who's going to be here today. So he can help with taping and keep our eyes on stuff a little bit better.
Because
so,
there's 2 gyms going on today.
It's challenging.
You come out here at 10:30 and pay to get in. You can watch basketball all day long. In fact, at 12:15, the mighty Spartans from Greendale Martin Luther, where I coach, we're playing Mesmer, my alma mater. So that's going to be
nice plug.
That's going to be a little tough. But hey, if you want to come out and watch Martin Luther or Mesmer play, 12:15 today at Brooks Central would be a great opportunity, and you get to support the Luke Homan Memorial Fund. And I'll tell some stories in the 10:15. Our 10:15 time slot about Luke Homan. That's gonna be a tough segment for me. This was just a phenomenal young man, and he's gone way too early in his life, and we'll talk about that obviously in the high school basketball show. On the other side of the break, we're gonna get to the treatment recovery and then communication. The team, can I hold you over for one more segment?
Sure.
Greg Lucas is gonna continue to stay with us. My co-host today, Dr. Eric Pfeiffer. He is. You can get all the information you need on Dr. Pfeiffer, mymatch.com. And I would highly recommend that you do this. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right. Yeah.
That is Black Keys, brought to you by Dr. Eric Pfeiffer. Co-host, all-around good guy. Go to mymatch.com for more information on Dr. Eric Pfeiffer. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. We're live from Brookfield Central High School for the Luke Homan Memorial Basketball Showcase on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Again, Dr. Eric Pfeiffer is joining me along with Greg Lucas, 6th-year trainer here at Brookfield Central. Guys, we only got a few minutes, but I want to talk a little bit about treatment, recovery, and communication of the team. So, Dr. Pfeiffer, we have a young man that has the office visit. Then you guys communicate with what needs. If there's not surgery that's needed, but there's going to be some rehab, you let Greg know that. You let Ashley Groth know that. And then we move on. They take over at that point, correct?
Yeah, the great part about our communication team is typically I'm going to either see the athlete in my office. Sometimes I'll see him on the sideline, and in certain cases I'll see him in the training room, interact with Greg or the other trainers, get the imaging, and then I will call Greg. We have confidential texting that I can text Greg, communicate with the athlete and the parents, and if they give permission, then with the coaches, and then figure out a game plan. So really, depending on what we see as far as imaging or the exam in the office, we get all the team involved, including some of the other parts of the team, including parents and coaches, to figure out how to go forward.
Hey, Greg, we have actually a great case to talk about. But Charlie Debnick, who is shooting right now on the side here, he broke his thumb in a game. How long ago, do you think?
About 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago, and he's attempting to get back in today. So he has gone through the process that we've talked about here. Didn't have surgery.
Nope.
So he went to see the doctor, treatment, recovery. He's now to a point that you have it wrapped with it with a kind of a special brace so that he can probably get out and play today.
Right. He's been back for about 3-4 days now, and the doctor communicated we got to wear that splint for 10 days. Been gradually getting back into practice. First day was just shooting, passing. Next day it was kind of get up down the floor, passing a little bit on the run. Next day we get him into more practice things, and that was actually yesterday. So it's kind of a hit and miss. It's kind of quick for this game, but
yeah,
he's got a splint on there. And part of my worry is, you know, what would the refs say? So we pad a little bit. It's a little bulkier today in practice. We're
sure.
Gonna see if we can just wear the splint. But that's part of what I can do with the coach. And every day it's been a check-in. Hey, this is where we're at today. This is where we're at, and we're getting back safely.
You know, what a perfect example of what we've talked about. I mean, this young man 6 weeks ago broke his thumb, and he's now just in that process of possibly getting back to playing today.
It just goes to your point. We talked earlier about experience, and certainly Greg has been through this before. This young man has not, so he can tell him, this is what we anticipate, this is the timeline, this is what I need to do to kind of talk with the refs and get you back in gameplay, and that puts that athlete and their family at ease.
You know, what's funny is talking with Charlie during the break, I said, can you still shoot it with that? He goes, yeah, it feels a little different. I said, how'd you do it? He said, I was just playing defense and hit a guy's hip. And, you know, what's the moral of that story? Just shoot it. Don't play defense, right?
That's what the Warriors do.
Yeah, that is kind of, and that's worked out well for them, right? Hey, guys, I can't thank you enough. I wanted to do this show about this process because it's important that for a couple of reasons. One, for coaches that listen to understand that we're all going through this. And for parents to understand that the people at Mosh really have the student athlete's best interest at heart. You know what? They're not gonna approve for that young man or woman to go on the floor or the court or the field earlier than they need to, earlier than they should, because they're getting pressure. Right? I mean, this is something you guys have put together, this phenomenal team that are all part of the same circle, communicating and making sure that what you're doing is right for that student athlete.
Yeah, it's really for the best interest of the athlete. And I tell a lot of these kids, they're not going to make money playing this sport, but I know you love this sport. So let's work with you to get back, but let's be realistic. And 6 years at school, you know, I feel I have a great relationship with the kids too, and they understand where I'm coming from, which is a great benefit.
Yeah.
Our sports team's great because we want to keep our athletes safe, because sports is so much more than dealing with dollars and cents. It's building great young men and women.
Hey, it's great to see your son Logan here today. Yeah, that's awesome. You told him to go read a book, but there is Wi-Fi here. So what do you think he's doing?
He's watching basketball, reading a book. He's all right.
Logan's a nice young man. I want to thank everybody here at Brookfield Central. We're going to continue on the other side of the break with the Wendy's Varsity Blitz. Again, we are live at Brookfield Central for the Luke Holman Memorial Basketball Showcase on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.